Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. And verse 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank, they were not of a double heart. And of Naphtali, 1,000 captains, and with them with shield and spear, 37,000, and of the Danites, expert in war, 28,600, and of Asher, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, 40,000. And on the other side of Jordan, of the Reubenites and the Gadites, and of the half tribe of Manasseh, with all manner of instruments of war for the battle, 120,000. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. I want to take my text out of verse 32 and preach this morning a message entitled Understanding the Times. This text was penned when King David first began to reign over Israel. After Saul's death, it appears that some of the tribes of Israel were undecided as to what to do. Some wondered whether or not they should remain loyal to the family of Saul, or whether they should follow the dictates and commands of King David. The men of Issachar, of Zebulun, along with those of the other tribes, boldly proclaimed their loyalty to King David. They were men who had discerned the difficult times in which they lived, and they took a decided course of action. With one heart, they supported the king. They were expert in war. They knew that there was going to be a battle on their hands if they lined up with King David. And they could keep rank. They were not unstable, but rather they had one purpose. I believe that the day and age in which we live calls for men and women, boys and girls, who understand the times that we live in, to renew their loyalty, their commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. If there ever was a day when God's people need to stand for what is true, what is righteous, what is moral, what is honorable, what is noble, it's the day and age in which we live. We are in a conflict, a battle. And it's time that God's people stand up and exert an influence for good. We're the salt of the world. We're the light of the world. And as such, we're to have an influence. Oh, my prayer is that God would raise up more men and women who will render loyal and faithful service to our King in the day and age in which we live. Now let's consider some of the characteristics of our times. We live in an age of moral laxity, of indecision, of compromise, of neutrality. Very few people in our day will take a decided stand against anything, especially things that are immoral and ungodly and abominable in the sight of God. In fact, in our day and age, they're debating whether or not it's all right to lie in a court of law. If the chief executive officer of our military and the president of our United States can take an oath of office to protect the Constitution and then lie in a court of law, then we will have to change what we do in every court for every individual citizen and say perjury is now an option. But people don't want to take a stand against things like that. In fact, it's fashionable to be politically correct rather than being honest and forthright and decided. I'm sick of all the fence straddlers. I'm sick of people who want it both ways, to have the applause of the world and to be accepted by God. Listen, it won't work. Just stop and think what has happened over the last 50 years in society because of the religion of secular humanism, of moral relativism, of situation ethics that has been force-fed through the media, through public education, through print, through radio, through TV. Things that were unthinkable and abhorred by a majority of Americans are now not only tolerated but accepted as expressions of so-called personal freedoms. No more right or wrong anymore. And if you say that something's wrong, people look at you and say, well, you're a narrow-minded bigot, that's just your opinion. And you know why that attitude pervades our society? Because people have cast off the standards of the Word of God. When the authority of Scripture is taken away from a society, you have no moral basis for anything. If the Bible's not your authority, and what has happened in society, in our world, not just in America, but in the world, man has become his own God. He decides for himself what he thinks is right. And you know what? Everyone is doing that which is right in their own eyes, and that's abominable. Because men are sinners, they don't form righteous opinions. So today, homosexuality, pornography, do you know that on the internet there are over 270 pornographic sites, and that there are 500 new sites being added every single day, and that the revenue that's brought from that filth is in billions of dollars, tells me something that 50 years ago was unacceptable is now a big business in America and the world. Abortion on demand, lying under oath, situation ethics, moral relativism, sexual immorality, divorce for any reason, adultery, fornication, sin, wrong, ungodly, yet being accepted in our society today. That is a sure formula for destruction. Turn back to Isaiah, or turn over to Isaiah chapter 5. We need some more preachers who'll preach like this too. Too many lily-livered preachers who are afraid of offending people rather than telling what the Word of God says. Isaiah 5 and verse 20, "Woe unto them that call evil good." Isn't that the way it is in our day and age? "And good evil, that put darkness for light, and that put and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Notice, they judge everything by their own way of thinking and opinion. "Woe to them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people." Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. 2 Peter 3:3, "There shall come in the last day scoffers." If the majority of the media would sit down and listen to the message I am preaching today, they would scoff at me. They would call me a right-wing, radical, conservative, you name it. They call me everything but a white man. And you know what? Their opinions are influencing your minds and the minds of people throughout our nation. That's why you can have somebody in office who is guilty of some wicked sins, who has told bold-faced lies about it, and yet have an approval rating and have people on TV with a mic in their face saying it's all a private matter. It's not a private matter. It influences everyone in our society. I say it's wrong. We need people to stand up for what's right. We need to understand the times we're living in. I'm sick of Christians just being run over, being treated like doormats. We live in an age also of superficial religious profession, in which easy believism, pragmatism, worldliness, and immorality are abounding among people who are so-called religious people, who have made a religious profession, who go to church and fill a pew on Sunday mornings, who sing the songs, yet who can agree with immorality, who can go to church on Sunday and live like the devil the rest of the week. I'm telling you, it's superficial. It's fake. Matthew 24:12 talks about the times that we're living in. It says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." We are seeing a religious coldness and apathy. I'm talking about true spiritual godliness. A desire to be like the Lord Jesus Christ and to honor Him That's not found in most churches. Entertainment has replaced reverent worship. The business methods of the world have overtaken the simplicity of Jesus Christ. There is too much profession without any practice. Do you understand the times? The Bible clearly tells us that these times are upon us. We need men who understand the times and who will take action, a decided course of action. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, I'll read it for you or quote it for you, chapter 3, in the last this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, from such having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. He's not talking about the world. In that passage, he's talking about people who have made a public profession of religiosity, who are practicing churchianity rather than Christianity. The Bible talks about it in Titus 1 and verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. J.C. Ryle, a writer of the last century, wrote these words, and I concur. I must honestly declare my conviction that there has never been so much profession of religion without practice, so much talking about God without walking with Him, so much hearing God's words without doing them, as there is in England at this present date. Never were there so many empty tubs and tinkling cymbals. Never was there so much formality and so little reality. The whole tone of men's minds on what constitutes practical Christianity seems lowered. The old golden standard of the behavior which becomes a Christian man or woman appears debased and degenerated. You may see scores of religious people, so-called, continually doing things in which days gone by would have been thought utterly inconsistent with vital religion. The ancient tenderness of conscience about such things seems dying away and becoming extinct like the dodo. And when you venture to remonstrate with young people who indulge in them, they only stare at you as an old-fashioned, narrow-minded, fossilized person saying, where is the harm? Is he right or wrong? People are doing today what was unthinkable 20 years ago. Do you understand the times we're living in? We live in an age also, and I can tell this is already becoming a two-parter, so you better just fasten your seat belts and get ready for the second dose next Sunday. We're living in an age of doctrinal ignorance, of ecumenical tolerance, under the guise of so-called charity. The average churchgoer doesn't know what they believe or why they believe it. People want to be amused in churches. They want to be entertained. They want to be pampered by smooth-talking preachers who tell them what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. God help the preacher who doesn't warn the wicked. God help the preacher who doesn't preach against worldliness and sin and ungodliness. God help the church that doesn't faithfully practice discipline upon immorality and doctrinal heresy. Yet that's what's happening in most churches today. I hope you know. And by the way, this is one of the reasons. The first of the year, on Sunday nights, by God's grace, Lord willing, we're going to go through a systematic study of Bible doctrine from beginning to end. I don't know how long it'll take. I'm not even worried about it. But I want you to know what the Bible teaches and what this church stands for and what your preacher believes. Because I think there's a whole lot of people out there, they don't have the slightest idea what their church really believes. You know, God gave a warning about prophets that He had not sent. Now, you may think I'm pretty narrow-minded. I'm just going to tell you this. I don't believe God ever called a man to preach error and things that are completely contrary to the Word of God. There's not a man out there who preaches that salvation is by works that's called of God. And I don't believe that God has ever called any man. I don't care if he's Martin Luther. I don't care if he's John Calvin or some of the greatest theologians that men revere. God never called a man to teach people infant baptism. He never called a man to teach people that baptism saves you. Anybody who is preaching that there is something added to the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is not preaching the gospel of grace. They're preaching error. And listen to what the Bible says. Ezekiel 13, verse 3, you say, "Oh, Brother Ross, you're kind of mean." I'm not, really. But I want to be truthful. How can a man with any conscience, week after week, stand up and preach things that are contrary to the Word of God and not be bothered about it? Some of these lily-livered preachers in Huntington, they're so weak tea and pink lemonade with honey dripping out both sides of their mouth, it makes me sick saying that homosexuality is up to the person. It's an alternate lifestyle. No, it's not. It's wrong. No matter how you cut it. We need to take a stand against those things. We need to understand the times we're living in. God said, Ezekiel 13, verse 3, "Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like foxes in the deserts. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, The Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have ye not seen a vain vision? And have ye not spoken a lying divination? Whereas ye say, The Lord saith it, albeit, however, I have not spoken. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God." God is against preachers who preach contrary to His Word. And we got a whole host of charismatics who are saying that they've got a vision from God that doesn't line up with what the Bible teaches. Who are you going to believe? The Word of God or lying prophets that say they got something new from God, when God says in Revelation chapter 22 that you are not to add to or take away from the words of the prophecy of this book? Do you understand the times we're living in? So, well, brother, if other preachers would start preaching like you, man, some of these churches would empty out. You got that right. You'd separate the wheat from the chaff. I believe God's people take the Word of God as it's preached. We're living in these days. 2 Timothy, Second Timothy. Come on over there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. You know what's going on in churches today? Entertainment, amusement, tickling men's ears. Say, well, look at how these churches are growing. The end doesn't always justify the means. Now listen to what the Bible says. If you're going to understand the times, you got to see what the Word of God says. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Here's what his charge is to every preacher. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, stories, replacing the Word of God. There is a spirit of compromise prevailing under the false guise of Christian charity and union. As long as I'm the pastor of Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, we will not unite with those who deny the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, His blood atonement. We will not unite with those who deny the literal bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, who believe in salvation by your works or believe that you can lose your salvation. We will not unite with those who believe in alien immersion, who will accept any kind of immersion out there. I believe in Baptist baptism, is Bible baptism. Will not unite with those who deny the sovereignty of God and the doctrines of sovereign grace. Because I'm not going to join hands with people who deny what the Word of God plainly teaches. I'm not here, and this church is not here to be popular among the religious masses. We are here with a mission to preach the gospel to every creature and to teach men to observe all things whatsoever God has commanded. And we better not stray from that by entertainment and amusement and all the other things, gimmicks, gadgets, and frills that churches are going into. Need to get back to just going with what the Word of God says. This gets me stirred up. You're going to understand the times. You're going to have to realize we live in an age of political unrest and confusion the world over. Do you know every country on every continent today is in a state of political corruption and confusion and chaos? Do you think that the Y River Accords are ever going to be carried out? Not in your wildest dreams. Arafat and the PLO are not going, they may say things with their mouth, but they're lying. Our world is in political unrest and corruption. You say, "What, preacher, God's people shouldn't be involved in politics." Who told you that? You're to stand for what's right. And if it takes denouncing corrupt leaders, that's what it takes. Our elected officials, many of them, have forsaken principles of righteousness and replaced them with public opinion polls in the name of public political expediency. You know what aggravates me about these stinking public opinion polls? How come they never ask my opinion? How come they never call me? I wonder where they're taking some of these public opinion polls. I wonder if they're taking them down at Joe's Bar and Grill or at some whorehouse or a strip joint. Maybe that's where they're taking them. Certainly God's people don't agree with what's wrong. We live in a time of political corruption and greed. Politicians will say what people want to hear. We don't have statesmen anymore who will stand for what's right no matter what it costs them. We live in an age of unsurpassed materialism and covetousness. You're going to understand the times. You will understand that people are so caught up and their drive for the almighty dollar that they don't consider the eternal destiny of their soul. Luke 12:15, Jesus said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." And then he gave a parable of the man who was storing up goods for himself, who was judged by God. And in verse 20, he says, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." I'm going to tell you right now, you're too materialistic. If you are robbing God of His tithes and offerings to pay for your pleasures. You're stealing from God. We live in an age of pleasure seeking, of entertainment, and of sports that have served to distract people's minds from what is most important, a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. And boy, this is the one that hits old Tom Ross. Man, I love to watch a good football game. I love to watch my kids play basketball and football and baseball. I know a lot of stats and things. I'm interested in that. But you know what? When those things begin to take precedence over the Word of God, over the Lord's house,
we've started to go backwards and make them idols. And we live in an age where the family unit is being fractured and destroyed. We have lazy parents who will not discipline their children and teach them right from wrong, who let the television raise them rather than taking them to church and then giving them a proper example. Many homes are filled with disrespect. When parents issue a command, children mock them. And they don't obey them. Fulfilling the prophecy that when the perilous times shall come, they're going to be disobedient to parents and not care and have a disrespect for authority. Do you understand the times that we're living in? Now, I preach what the Word of God teaches about the times we're living in. I don't think what I've said this morning is just my opinion. Now, the question is, if you understand the times, what are you going to do about it? And that's what I'm going to preach on next Sunday, God willing. Is if we're men and women, boys and girls who understand the times, then I believe that we're going to cast in our lot of full support and loyalty to one King and one King only, the Lord Jesus Christ.